You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, July 28th, 7:31 Central Time. Joining me in studio this morning, Deaconess Grace Rao, Director of Deaconess Ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Deaconess Grace, great to have you in studio again this morning.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good morning, and welcome back. You've been traveling. You're always traveling.
Yes.
Glad to have you back here at the IC as well. Looking forward to talking about your trip, recent trip to Latvia.
And Lithuania.
We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. Also joining us in studio this morning, the Reverend Bart Day, Executive Director of the Office of National Mission. Just one title now, is that right?
Just one title.
And you're happy about that.
I'm very happy. More than enough work to do just with one title. Great to be with you.
Well, glad to have you here. And you too recently went on this trip with Deaconess Grace Rao and visited our brothers and sisters in Christ in Latvia and Lithuania. What prompted this trip? Who wants to? Where did this recent trip begin? Grace?
Yes, we had our first deaconesses, 10 of them in my class were commissioned. They're the first deaconesses of Evangelical Lutheran Church of Latvia.
So 10 students in this first class. How long have you been working with these students?
For the last 3 years.
3 years of instruction. And how many visits? Do you know, any idea how many visits you've made?
Say about, for the last 3 years, it must be about 7 to 8 visits.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Spending time getting to know them, teaching and the deaconess courses over the last 3 years.
The beauty of the class is all of the ladies are involved in diaconal ministry. They're all diaconal leaders in their respective churches or social ministry.
Now, has anyone else been assisting you in teaching these deaconesses?
Yes, the local pastors, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Latvia, the pastors were teaching the other theological classes for them, and I've been taking care of the other part.
So recently they had finished their instruction. They were ready for...
They had an examination too.
How did that go?
That went well because all the answers were in Latvian, so I had a translator. But after I grade them, I know papers will be sent to Archbishop of Latvia. He was very instrumental in this program. Another lady in Taputnina, she was the head of the diaconia. Both were pretty involved in it.
So now that they've completed their instruction and they were commissioned recently?
Yes, on July the 18th, the service was beautiful at the Doma Cathedral, built in 12th century.
Bart, share with us about the church in Latvia, the Evangelical Lutheran Church there, and how things have gone in this church and what you've learned with your visit.
Sure. Well, I think sometimes we forget that there is a long history of Lutheranism in those parts of the world, going all the way back to the mid to late 1500s, where Lutheranism was there and was thriving and is sort of the religion in those communities, along with the Roman Catholic Church. So there's a long, rich tradition there. Of course, both in Latvia and Lithuania, persecution during the time of the Bolsheviks out of Russia, and then, of course, the Nazis during the time of World War II. Then communism thereafter, and then really freedom, specifically in Lithuania, just really in the early 1990s.
Wow.
But Lutheranism has survived through all of those times. And as Grace said, those two nations in particular, Latvia and Lithuania, and the churches are doing unbelievable diaconic work with state dollars, substantial state dollars, where that intersection of church and state and caring for the needs of people is very unlike what we have here in the United States. So you have a lot of diaconic work going on, but not auxiliary offices or people who are commissioned and recognized by the church as church workers to do that. So Bishop Von Augs, many years ago, who has been the archbishop in Latvia for 20 years now, had early connections with President
Barry.
Yeah, President Barry, I guess, when he was elected. So going back with the LCMS for many years, seeing a need to then have these women specifically trained, theologically formed. They're already doing the work, as Grace said. They're already leaders in the church, but to give them this theological training and then to set them apart, to commission them, consecrate them for a special office in the church. This has been a long time in coming. I was blessed to go along to teach a little seminar that day with some of the local pastors, too, to really talk about how pastors and deaconesses work together, that we have the one office of the holy ministry, which the Lord has graciously given the church. But the church then oftentimes organizes itself with auxiliary offices to help support some of those specific tasks and work, as the early church did in Acts. So we talked about that and how that relationship with pastors and deaconesses work. And it was very, very good. It was great to hear that some of the same questions and challenges that they have with auxiliary offices are the same ones that we have, or the same questions. Sure. How do all these things fit together? And is there turf warfare? And will pastors feel, you know, that someone's encroaching? Or how, where does diaconic work really fit with the proclamation of the gospel? So it's not just sort of social ministry. A lot of those same things. But as Grace said, you have 10 faithful ladies there that have been studying now for several years. The consecration of them and the Domus Cathedral was glorious, with Archbishop Von Aug serving as celebrant and these 10 ladies certainly overjoyed. And then our time in Lithuania, that they have the same kind of work going on. We went to see a project that the LCMS is going to help them fund, which will be sort of a, as you call it, kind of like a halfway house for men who are maybe drug addicts, alcoholics, who are moving back into the community, and sort of spiritual formation will be a part of that. We will help them with that project. But then an opportunity also to see potentially a deaconess program start in Lithuania, so that over the next several years, Grace will now get to go to Lithuania several times and help coordinate with the local pastors, the theological training of the ladies that they have serving. So it's just great things happening all over the world, where Lutheranism is strong, has a vibrant, rich history. And they're looking to the LCMS really, again, to help with theological training, to help them understand where mercy work falls within the whole scope of work of the church.
What do we mean by diaconic work, or some might use the word diaconal maybe as well? What do we mean by that?
Acts of mercy, where the women serve the Lord in their respective ministries as serving the poor, the sick, the suffering, and underprivileged people whom the Lord brings them to the church. So
they might be...
They are orphanages, daycare centers, elderly, and they call it home for the aged. Senior citizens, halfway runaway homes.
Physical
domestic abuse, disabilities, as Brad said. Substance, alcohol abuse, domestic abuse, physical abuse. So, and soup kitchens is most important for them. There are so many homeless people over there. So they do a fantastic diaconal work.
How is the diaconal work different from what might be considered a social service agency or whatever they might be called in that country? You know, here in the United States, we have social service agencies, but we also have diaconal ministries or diaconic work. How would that be different?
What I think is the church is directly involved in that. Here, recognized social organization is an organization. Of course, they are related to affiliated or to the LCMS. But here, the church is directly involved, and the government will not stop them for the word and the sacrament. You know, the faith is also very important to give them the spiritual care. So the church is directly involved. So diaconia comes from the Trinity. So they abide with the word, yes.
I think what's significant for those churches and for the LCMS, there are many social service agencies that do far more work than the church can ever begin to do. I mean, they just have federal dollars, state dollars, private donations, huge horsepower. But the church is doing those acts of mercy, compelled by the love and forgiveness of Christ, and they're doing those acts of mercy knowing that those are doorways and opportunities to actually share the gospel. So for Lutherans, we don't believe that the act of mercy, just devoid of anything else, is the gospel. We're using those as opportunities to actually share the gospel. The faith comes from hearing, to share with them the joy and hope that's in us and talk to them about Jesus, and that Jesus desires us to care for these people and to love them for who they are. So that piece. And that's what I think they've enjoyed about Grace, because mm-hmm. they've had all this diaconic work happening in Latvia and in Lithuania with these wonderful women that are doing it, but didn't have the rich theological training to kind of know how to make those strong connections to mm-hmm. bearing witness to the gospel in the midst of that work. And they see those as huge opportunities.
Yeah, added to that is a Lutheran identity too. So some of the students have expressed their training to Archbishop, and they said, we had an opportunity to read the Book of Concord for this class. We mm-hmm. would have never done that. Even Luther's mm-hmm. catechism, because the catechism classes for them is only for 2 months compared to the United States for 2 years. You know, and mm-hmm. in 2 months, what will anybody, mm-hmm. you know, I can tell you as an Anglican, I had only 6 weeks catechism class. So it's really was wonderful mm-hmm. for them, because the class starts with the Luther's small catechism. Unless they memorize all that, I will not proceed with any mm-hmm. of the theological classes. And Bart gave a presentation. So it was like a team ministry, pastor and deaconess together. Mm-hmm. That opened their eyes very much. And even Archbishop was present all the time.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back for that break, I want to talk more about your trip and perhaps what we can learn from our brothers and sisters in Christ in Latvia and Lithuania. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. We're talking with the Reverend Bart Day and Deaconess Grace Rao. We have more on the way on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, July 28th. And with me in studio this morning, Deaconess Grace Rao and the Reverend Bart Day, and sharing with us about their recent trip to Latvia and Lithuania, celebrating the commissioning of deaconesses in Latvia. And what a joy and celebration, I'm sure, after 3 years of training and formation to be there and celebrate with them on that joyous occasion. You said that it was just a beautiful service there in the cathedral.
Yes.
Very nice.
Doma Cathedral.
Mm-hmm. The Doma Cathedral.
And they had to close the whole tourism to a part of it mm-hmm. for the service. And they did a fantastic job. And Bart will talk more of the divine service we had. And from mm-hmm. the commissioning service order, we send them and they translated into Latvian and mm-hmm. they introduced that part. So the other guests were the Bishop of Daugavpils, who's like a district president, mm-hmm. you know. So he was part of the officiating service, and even Bishop Sabudis from Lithuania, and Reverend Bart Day, and James Krikava was also there. Reverend James Krikava. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they were all, we all processed.
So there were a lot of people there from the LCMS, from the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Latvia. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? And tell us about the service. English and what languages?
No, all in Latvian.
All in Latvian.
It was very beautiful. Like Grace said, Grace sent them the commissioning, consecrating of deaconesses from LSB, from our mm-hmm. agenda, and they had that translated. So it was full Eucharistic service. It was very moving in the dome. I mean, this is a huge cathedral, and to celebrate the Lord's Supper there. And then they very graciously asked Pastor Krikova and myself to distribute the sacrament to all of those who were there. So I was... I had a quick lesson in how to say the body of Christ in Latvian. And I was glad that nobody, you know, snickered or laughed or anything. And Jim also had a good lesson in how to say the blood of Christ in Latvian. So I was a little nervous.
But, how do you say it? Do you remember?
You know, I don't...
Christus is the last one.
Yeah, Christus Misa. Uh-huh. Christus Misa. And so it was very nice to be a part of that and to see the women... And Grace, of course, in typical fashion, brought all kinds of gifts for them and books and gave them a treasury of daily prayer. gave them books on behalf of the Synod, and those were presented after the service. And then they had a little reception and took pictures. And it was quite a celebration. I mean, I think the church was quite pleased after this long process that they have this partnership with the LCMS. But then that now they have these deaconesses that are serving among them. And I think they're looking forward to more classes to come. Mm-hmm. I think they have another group of ladies that they would like to.
Yeah, they were already there at the service. You know.
What about pastoral formation? Tell us about their seminary or their education for those preparing to become a pastor. Have you had a chance to learn anything about their
program? Not so much. Grace probably knows more than I do. They do have a seminary there.
Yes, Luther Academy, mm-hmm. and they have a 4 years divinity mm-hmm. studies, and I think they get a bachelor's of divinity, and they're accredited to the, if I'm correct, University of Pretoria.
I believe that's correct, mm-hmm. and they have a few professors who teach there, and then, of course, professors who also come from internationally to mm-hmm. to guest teach there, just like most mm-hmm. seminaries in the
world. Doxology was there last year.
Mm-hmm. I see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything else from your visit to Latvia before we move on to Lithuania? Did you have a chance to travel around the area or any other sites to take in while you were there in Latvia?
Pretty much just in Riga. I mean, mm-hmm. we got to see a lot of the old city and walk around early in the mornings, but we were pretty busy with activities mm-hmm. just there for those few days mm-hmm. to teach the course, to have the...
Yeah, we visited one of the centers.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. We did visit a center where they take care of young children. Youth mm-hmm. who are from troubled homes, and the state helps fund some dollars for them to be out of the home, mm-hmm. kind of after school care. But then above that facility is... senior citizen, mm-hmm. low-income housing, basically, and this is a Lutheran center mm-hmm. that they have there, and it was amazing to see all of the work yeah. that they have going on. The facility is very well kept, and lots of great programs yeah. happening there. Diaconic work, mm-hmm. of course, abounds in those yes. situations, so they have a lot of those kind of projects happening mm-hmm. all over the church.
And Sunday we worshiped another Lutheran, mm-hmm. Latvian Lutheran church. But by the way, coming back to what Reverend Bart was saying, that project was funded way back from World Relief and Human Care, LCMS World Relief and Human Care. So,
wow.
I will tell you one other thing from Latvia that most struck me. Grace mentioned the Sunday morning. We went to another Lutheran church there mm-hmm. in town. Now, I grew up in a congregation where when I was young, they put kneelers in. And that was kind of shocking, like, do Lutherans use kneelers and when do we use them and all the rest? At this church in Riga, at the time for the communion liturgy, it was another huge church, and the kind of upper sanctuary where the altar is was quite far removed from the people. The pulpit was considerably down so that we were closer to the preaching. But when it was time for the Eucharistic liturgy, they invited all of those who would commune to come forward, to literally come up into the inner chancel. So we all walk up there for the communion liturgy, and then all at one time, everyone kneels on the hard wood floor for the entire Eucharistic liturgy. Until the distribution, everyone kneels on the floor. So I found it kind of shocking that sometimes, just those kind of practices mm-hmm. that are shocking and jarring. Do Lutherans kneel? Do Lutherans have crucifixes? Do Lutherans do this and that? It's sometimes great to go back to these older countries where Lutheranism has been since the time of the Reformation and see some of these very pious practices, particularly around receiving the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. The pastor also came in front of, before receiving the body and blood of Christ, was individual absolution for everyone at the rail, which is an old vestige that was still kind of in the Missouri Synod at one time and comes from Scandinavian churches. So it was very interesting to see just sort of the liturgical life mm-hmm. of people in Latvia and in Lithuania.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about your travels to Lithuania as well. What brought you to Lithuania?
We want to initiate a dialogue with the Bishop Sabutis, Mindaugas Sabutis, having a Deaconess program. So that started off, and then he was also very much interested in schools way back, he told me. So that was a right opportunity for Bart to have a dialogue mm-hmm. because he has an expertise. I don't have any expertise with the schools, So that conversation was more broader than the deaconess, because they know by then what was a deaconess ministry mm-hmm. and all that. So I sent all that information prior to that. So by tomorrow, I should be hearing when I'll be there back in October.
Start planning your
yes.
deaconess classes yes.
So
in Lithuania.
So the school is very interesting. He mm-hmm. already had, Bart will speak more on that.
Yeah, I mean, Vilnius is the capital of Lithuania and is a beautiful city. I mean, mm-hmm. thriving, gorgeous old city and lots of industry and things there. And since sort of communism is out since the early 90s, I mean, the whole entire just mm-hmm. economy and city is flourishing. It's a beautiful place. And the church, again, the main cathedral church there from 1555, only got got back from the communists in like 1992. The church had been totally gutted, put into two floors, a basketball court upstairs. And so it's all been reclaimed now. The church is again active and worshiping there. We saw all this diaconic work. But then, he wanted to talk about schools and potentially having a Lutheran school and a K-12. And it was a very sort of informal conversation about how one would do a school. Wanted to hear about the international schools that we have and how that partnership works with the LCMS. And but as this unfolded, it was obvious that they're not just sort of at the beginning stages. I mean, they pulled out a couple hundred page master plan, a demographic study. They have architectural renderings. I mean, they are ready to build a school with strong Lutheran identity, with a rigorous Lutheran curriculum, wanting teachers from our Concordia. Mm-hmm. My goodness, even in their master plan, they've built teacherages apartments into the development of the new school so that teachers could literally live on site and be there. So I think there's tremendous opportunity for the LCMS to partner with them in some way, or at least help support them. Mm-hmm. May not be an international school similar to the way we have the relationship with the three in Asia, but I mean, they have a tremendous opportunity there to share the gospel through schools with a rigorous Lutheran identity, which the state gladly welcomes. And there would even be some state funding and voucher type program like we have in some states here. So a lot of great opportunities, not only for the diaconic work that they're doing, but now potentially working with Lutheran schools.
Right. Outstanding.
Also, we also talked about a little bit about youth ministry, you know, and Bart can speak more on that as well, because that falls under his...
Yeah, work with youth, and we're trying to get several students from Europe and Eastern Europe, Latvia, Lithuania in particular, to come to the National Youth Gathering next summer to be present. We always have kids from Africa and other places, but we'd like to see a stronger international contingent there. But how we can support them in working with their youth, where it's interesting in Latvia and both in Lithuania, it's not nearly as secularized as here, or the younger generation is not maybe as polarized anti-church there. Certainly a door open, and there's more seeking, and these opportunities to serve in diaconic work too is a great opportunity. So it's very interesting. It's a beautiful place, I think, for Americans to live and work and be involved in Lithuania.
What can we learn from our brothers and sisters in Christ, from the Lutherans in Lithuania? What can we learn from them, those in Lithuania and those in Latvia?
Sure. We have a ton to learn, specifically because just literally in the last 80 years, they have been oppressed both by the Nazis and by communism. And I mean oppressed, like stomped out, almost stomped off the face of the earth. The persecution that we fear is coming here, or we believe is already here, just pales to what they actually endured. And the fact that the church remained and remained faithful and is now rising up out of that, flourishing, I mean, those were seasons for them of great sowing of the seed, and now they are reaping huge benefits. I came back to go to a meeting immediately with the Ethiopians, both people from Mekane Yesu and all the diaspora Ethiopians that are here in the United States, who also talked about during the time of communistic oppression in Ethiopia, where they were literally killing church leaders to kind of silence the church. They were sowing, they were evangelizing and spreading the gospel all of the time, and now just reaping huge harvest. The Mekane Yesu added 500,000 members in the last 12 months. 300 pastors, 500,000 members. And those communities are going to continue to grow. They're over 7 million. So I think we have things to learn from these countries who have been oppressed by the political machine, that the church is faithful, the church can remain, and the church continues to do what it does despite the persecution. And those are seasons, and those seasons pass, and the Lord opens new opportunities, and the church always stands through all of those times. So I think they have tremendous things to share with us, and the fact that they're Lutheran for a whole lot longer than we are. We like to think somehow that we're, you know, the spokesman for world Lutheranism because we've been Lutheran for a long time, and that is just not the case with these countries.
Well, outstanding. We have so much to learn from them, and it sounds like a strong partnership has been formed there, and part of that is through the diaconal training, the deaconess program, but also now it sounds like schools and other opportunities as well. So you start training in Lithuania, probably in October, start training there. Other places that you may be working on doing deaconess education?
Right now, I'm thinking of Silesian Church, which is not our partner church, so I have no idea, because it always starts with the introduction of a women's seminar, which I'm going to have a conversation with them, and I And I'll be there in October because they're celebrating the Silver Jubilee, the 25th anniversary of the Diaconal Center there.
Very good. And I believe we had a chance to talk with them earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, thank you both for taking time to out of your schedules and travel schedules to come spend some time with us here at KFUO and sharing about your travels. The Reverend Bart Day, Executive Director, Office of National Mission, thanks for being my guest this morning.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Deaconess Grace Rao, Director of Deaconess Ministry, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, thanks for being my guest
this
morning.
Thank you so much.
Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the Daily New Testament reading. Today, we'll study with Pastor Bielenberg from King of Kings Lutheran Church in Roseville, Minnesota. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
It just might be that you know someone who is aging gracefully but needs a bit of assistance. Perhaps you are looking for a doctor to make a house visit on your mom, or a handyman to fix an elderly neighbor's sink. Or maybe you think your dad qualifies for veterans benefits, but you just aren't sure. Aging Answers is a free service sponsored by Lutheran Senior Services. Make it your go-to source for aging-related concerns. LSS Aging Answers, 314-446-2475.
What should Christians believe, teach, and confess to be true? I'm Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, one of the hosts of Concord Matters. The Book of Concord is a collection of Christian teachings. Every week, we have a panel of theologians who make the things shown us in the Bible clear and understandable. Concord Matters, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, re-aired Saturdays at 10 a.m., always available for download on iTunes and KFUO.org archives.